Let's read Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And I just want to preach this morning on this thought. Praise him, praise him. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time together this morning? We certainly, Lord, pray that you would do a work in our children's churches and use those preachers back there. And God, I pray for good results today. And Lord, today in here, we have the teenagers and adults and the more mature crowd. And while a kid would sing the B-I-B-L-E or Jesus Loves Me, and what great songs. But we as teenagers and adults, Lord, would you help us to learn today to just sing praises to you every day of our life, every hour of the day, even in the deepest, darkest valleys, to know that just a song of praise to you would lift our spirit and would certainly bring honor and glory to you. So I pray that today, this Sunday morning crowd, that we would evaluate our life and evaluate our day to day and just recognize whether or not there is praise to God in our lips or whether or not we've gone silent towards our Savior. Bless the message, I pray, this morning. If someone is lost today, doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. And we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Over in the Philippines, there is a man. His name is Ruben Inagi, I believe is the way it would be said. Ruben Inagi. This man is a Catholic, and this man, for 33 years, I believe today, this week would be his 34th, but for 33 years, this man has allowed himself to be crucified on a cross on Good Friday. He fell from a building decades ago, and he survived the fall, and his way of saying thank you to the Lord has been to be crucified each year on Easter week. He did that for a while to say thank you. Then he did it for a while because his wife was sick. He did it for several years to try to get her healed, and then something else, and then COVID shut it down for 3 years. And this year is the first year in 4 years, but he said this year he's going to retire. But when we talk about him being crucified, we're not talking about an independent Baptist play where we carry a cross down the aisle and we get up there with some kind of blood thrown all over us. And I'm talking about this man literally has nails nailed through his hands and nails nailed through his feet. He carries a cross. Even the Catholic Church hasn't sanctioned it, but he does it there. And it's become a big deal. You can look his name up later and read about it. But he carries a cross, and he allows these people acting like soldiers to whip him and beat him as he's carrying that cross to a point where it brings blood. And then they take him and put him on that cross, and they nail holes through his hands and through his feet. I've got one word for that. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell any of us to go to a cross and to be crucified in order to show our gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. What it does say in the Word of God is that we ought to praise him. Look at Psalm 150 with me, if you would, the last Psalm, Psalm 150, and it's a familiar Psalm to many of you in here, but 13 times, I believe it is, the word praise is used in just these six verses. But Psalm 150 and verse number 1, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. And that tells us where to praise and where to praise him and then what to praise him for. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then what to praise him with. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and the harp. A piano is a harp turned sideways. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Listen to this. This Hebrew songbook, the book of Psalms, the very last verse, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now I'm looking around in here this morning and no one is dead. Some of y'all kind of came in that way this morning, like it's a Sunday morning. Some of you almost like it's like, man, revival wore me out and I'm still tired 4 days later, or there's no special guest or you know, whatever it may be. But you're not dead. And so the Bible says, let every person that hath breath praise the Lord. I thought about songs that have been written. Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. The Bible says this. In fact, this is the one scripture that Brother Greg and I had to memorize actually at A&M in the Corps of Cadets. And they tried to attribute it to, of course, soldiers. But we know it's about Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I thought about that song, and many have sung this song. But I cannot help but go back to when my dad was pastor here, and Brother Glenn, I'm not sure if you were here at the time or had already gone, but we had the Filipino singing men. Remember those folks that came through? And man, that was good. Those guys got up, and they played their guitars and sang, and they sang that song, when I look around and see the good things he's done for me, I know that I'm not worthy of them all. And his blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. And by the way, every one of us in this room has so much to thank him for this morning. The song goes on to say, well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. In our text, Jesus is making what is called his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He is fulfilling scripture. He's doing what the prophet said that he would do. Zechariah, the prophet, said this in chapter 9 and verse 9. He said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Our text, if you look back there in Matthew chapter number 21, our text tells us, and I don't want you to miss this scene, our text tells us that a very great multitude praised him as he entered that city. Look at Matthew 21, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So twice there, it says that there are multitudes glorifying God and praising God and saying Hosanna to God in the highest. Listen, and yet within a couple of days, the praise had disappeared and the persecution had begun. Look at Matthew 27 with me if you would. Matthew chapter 27, because folks, it was quite possibly the same multitude that later was crying out, crucify him, crucify him. You say, well, in chapter 21, I mean, those were his disciples. So, I mean, you wouldn't think his disciples would be yelling, crucify him. One of his closest disciples, the apostle Peter, was denying who he was and cussing and acting like a heathen and acting like the world. So sure, it could have been like many Christians today. They just decided to start fitting back in with the world. But look at chapter 27 there and verse number 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands, here it is, before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then answered all the people, all the multitude, and said, his blood be on us and on our children. What a sad sight that was. Here's my thinking. Where was the deaf that was made to hear? Where was the blind that was made to see? Where was the lame that was made to walk? Where was the leper that was cleansed and given the ability to go back home and enjoy his family once again? Where was the multitude that was fed? The truth of the matter is this. Some of us in here are guilty of failing to praise our Savior for all that he has done in our life. And some of us are guilty of not standing up for our Lord on a daily basis in 2023. Let me ask you a simple question. Two simple questions. Do the folks that you work with know that you're saved? Know that you're a born-again child of God, a Bible believer? Let me ask you a second question. Do they believe you're a good Christian? I was talking to a young man yesterday, and I won't give his name. Most of you know him, but we're online. I won't give his name, but he walks the streets of Willis Point. He'll stop by here every once in a while. And I said, hey, I missed you this week. And he said, I was at home. Now, this guy's up there in age, but he's got some mental issues. He's grown it up, got some mental issues. And he said, well, I was at home all week. I said, really, you're at home all week? He said, yeah, I couldn't leave the house. I said, were you in trouble? He said, yeah, I cussed out a cashier down here at the gas station. I said, well, and his mama works at the gas station at the other. I said, they called your mama, didn't they? Yes. I said, you shouldn't be cussing out the cashiers at the gas station. I know. Now, folks, listen, how do we act this week? How do we respond to people at the store or at the bank or at the school or in the drive-thru or, you know, wherever it may be? I'm just saying this morning, I just want to challenge all of us. Praise him. Praise him. Now, it's quiet sometimes on a Sunday morning, and I appreciate the amens, honestly, today, because Sunday night's my favorite service of the week. But it was a little quiet in here during the song service after the big revival. And I get that. Even without the crowds, I think a handful of people can sing. If you want to sing, but folks, listen. Let's be honest for just a minute. There are some in here. You will shout for the Dallas Cowboys. You let one of them catch a pass, or which rarely happens, but you let that happen, or you let the running back break through that line, and man, you're up, and yeah, hey, run. We'll jump for joy when the Aggies or maybe when the Longhorns score a touchdown. We'll flip over chairs when the Wills Point Tigers or the Edgewood Bulldogs or the Quinlan Panthers win a football game. But then we'll sit quietly in church while songs are sung about the Savior who won the victory at the cross over death, hell, Satan, and the grave. Praise him. Praise him. So I want to give you some ways and some reasons. I have three thoughts this morning. A few little sub-points underneath the first one, but first one will probably take the most time. But I want to give you some ways and some reasons to praise him today and every day. The Bible, in Psalm 107, four times it makes this statement. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. You know what's going to happen this week? You know what's happened over the last 7 days? Everybody wants to talk about Trump. I'll be honest with you, I could care less about Donald Trump. I believe whatever's going to happen. Now, I get it. You know, they should have done this to Clinton. They should do this. I do get all of that stuff. But I have never been a Trump fan. I do not understand men of God standing up elbow to elbow with a man who is a harlot. The man who, I mean, everything about him. I appreciate the way he governed. He only did it to kiss up to the conservatives. He used to be liberal in a lot of ways. I appreciate that. And listen, my family cat would be better than what we have right now. But I refuse to stand up and tell everybody, oh, man, you know, Trump, wear my red hat. I'm just not going to do it. And all this stuff going on, it's crazy. But are we surprised at anything that happens in this country anymore? Do you believe the election was stolen? Absolutely. And that was several years ago. And I still believe that happened. But I'm not going to, because I believe that I'm going to vote when it's time to vote on whoever. But I believe God's going to raise up who he wants and either who we deserve or whatever. But I've already riled some of you up. See, this is a problem. This is a problem. We'll stand in the foyer. We'll stand in the parking lot. We'll stand at work. Well, I'll tell you what, man, Trump's this and Biden's that. And we'll have big old conversations. And if I walked to your job and said, hey, did you know he's a born-again Christian? I wonder if everybody in there would say, we don't go there. We'll go there about the Cowboys. We'll go there about the Aggies. We'll go there about that, all this presidential stuff. Hey, friend, the Bible tells us in Psalm 113 and verse number 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Look at Hebrews 13 with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I want to say, first of all, this morning, let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him with our lips. I'll give you several ways in just a moment. But Hebrews 13, the Bible says this. Look at verse number 15. Verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right, so God says he wants us to praise him with our lips, and he threw in that word there, continually. So not just at church, right? Not just around God's people, right? But praise God, from the rising of the sun, there's the rising of the sun over there, to the going down of the same, and the Bible says we're to praise him continually. All right, listen to this in Psalm 34, and the psalmist said this, in fact, it was David. By the way, I hope you'll be back tonight. We're going to be back in 2 Samuel at night, chapter number 11. I'm looking forward to what God gave me. But Psalm 34 and verse number 1, David said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. All right, let's praise him with our lips. Use your Bible a little bit this morning. Look at Mark chapter number 5. Turn to Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter number 5, we see the story of the maniac of Gadara, the man that was there, and dwelling in the tombs and was cutting himself and was naked and would scream and cry out night and day. And when they chained him up, those demonic powers, he would break those chains. But one day he met Jesus. And isn't that wonderful that no one is beyond the ability to get born again and get saved? But he met Jesus and he got saved and he got born again and he did what every Christian ought to do. He wanted to follow the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. All right? This bubblegum popping, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, doing what your buddy does, prayer. Man, that's not real real salvation. When God gets a hold of someone's heart and Holy Ghost conviction sets in, and friends, sometimes it's an emotional thing. Sometimes there's zero emotion. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about really getting born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, they have to be baby. They have to be grown. They have to be discipled. Just like Brother Trent's little baby has to be cared for night and day. But friend, listen, man, things change when you get born again. He said, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. But I want you to notice what the Lord told him in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. We're talking about praising him with our lips. I want to give you that first sub-point there. Let's praise him in our testimony. Let's praise him in testimony. In other words, talk about the Lord everywhere you go. Did you go to work on Wednesday morning and say, listen, man, I'm tired today, but man, we had some good preaching at our church and some good singing and some good fellowship, and man, God worked in my heart. Did you go to work on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and say, man, hey, say something about prayer. Say something about the Bible. Say something about God and not in a cuss word. Say something about Jesus and not taking his name in vain. What I'm saying is the Bible says we're to praise God continually. Young people, that means at school, you ought to be talking about the Lord. Adults at work, we ought to be talking about the Lord. They ought to know that we're saved. They ought to be very bothered to act certain ways and talk certain ways around a child of God. They should not be comfortable doing those things around you. Let's praise him in testimony, all right? Look at Psalm 63. I'm going to come over there in just a second, but look at Psalm 63. Just open it, and then we're not to that point yet, but just sit on that for a second in Psalm 63. I noticed earlier we were reading Hebrews, and when we got done, there were still some turning. So, all right, if you don't have those cheater tabs that some of you guys have, just find it there. Psalm 63, okay? Now, before we get there, I want to read to you out of Psalm 126. The Bible says this, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. You remember back when you used to have laughter and joy of your salvation? And our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The psalmist said there, he said, our mouth was filled with singing. Guess what they were singing? Among the heathen. The heathen heard them singing the songs of praise, the song of Zion. All right, so let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him in testimony. But secondly there, let's praise him in song. We did it just a moment ago. What a shame. What a shame that some of God's people can't even sing in church. What a shame. See, we can't sing Taylor Swift all week. I was behind a car yesterday in tears, and we're headed to Taylor Swift. I thought, man, puke. You know, Christians, the Bible teaches us to listen to godly songs. It's very hard to all week long listen to country songs and rap songs and pop songs and all the junk, all the mess, all the nonsense that's out there, and yet come to church and the song leader says, stand up, sit down, I don't know, whatever I tell you at the time, and turn to this page and let's sing. And I watch today, and it's kind of like, you know why? Because the praise to God is not continually on your lips. And it takes a while. Why do you think Sunday night is such a great service? It takes some people some time to get cranked up. But friend, listen, I mean, wake up in the morning and just start singing. You may not know all the words to some song you sang at church the day before, but you'll know enough. God will know what you're saying. I've got to be honest with you, the shower is the best place to sing, man. The acoustics, and it's you know, you sound great whether we think so or not. Drive down the road and sing. I mean, are you helping yourself singing about what God can do and what God has done? Or are you going to help yourself because you're singing songs of rebellion and alcohol and divorce and all the craziness? I was behind this kid, and I couldn't do it because I didn't want to mess my truck up, because it wouldn't be the right thing for a pastor to do. But I was behind this skinny white kid in his truck a couple days ago, and he was rapping to the beat, and it was very obvious. First, I was thinking, dude, you know you're white, right? But he's not just rapping to the beat. He's tapping his truck brakes to the beat. So his truck's right in front of me going boom, 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 boom. You know, usually those white kids that do that, their mirrors are vibrating off. And but he's like, and the whole time, every time he moved his head, his lights were flashing. I just want to bump him one time. Boom, just go. Now, that'd be sad if I rolled up beside him and that was one of our young people. Yet sometimes some of you put stuff online and it looks to me like that ain't how great thou art you're bebopping to. You live on the level of music you listen to. I realize the cravings there. I realize all of us in here have had different types and different styles in our life. But folks, listen, don't give up that fight. We're going to talk about a little bit about that sort of stuff tonight. You cannot give up that fight. Why? Because we're going to be better off. We're singing praises to the Lord. Why don't you just turn that off? Hey, listen to me. I know some of you work at places where the music is not Christian music. And I go places, and I know contemporary Christian music is a mess. It is, and that's a whole nother message. But I go places sometimes, and I hear that, and I think, well, thank God they're at least I just heard Jesus. At least I just heard faith. At least I just heard God. But I know some of you are in situations where you're listening to that kind of stuff. But it's one thing to be there. It's one thing to accidentally catch yourself tapping one. It's another thing to say, oh, I love that song. What a mess. Let's praise him in testimony. Let's praise him in song. You're in Psalm 63. And out of there, I want to give you this one. Let's praise him in prayer. When is the last time you told God how good he was? Lord, I've come again today to say, gimme, 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 gimme. I need this bill paid. I need this health. I need this for my family. I want this to happen. When is the last time you just prayed and said, Lord, I just want to stop and say thank you for being so good in my life, and thank you for taking care of me, and thank you for your goodness, the Bible says in Psalm 63 and verse number 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied, and my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Let's praise him in testimony. Hey, listen, go out tomorrow and find a way to talk about the Lord. Monday is easy. Because everybody's in a bad mood on Monday morning. And you can walk in and others are in a bad mood and you could just whistle the tune to a song you heard the day before. And they're going to say, man, what's wrong with you? You say, I don't know, I went to church yesterday and man, I just really enjoyed it. Let's praise him in testimony. Let's praise him in song. Pick your favorite song, a song of the Lord, a song of Zion, and sing and drive down the road and sing. And man, wouldn't it be something if, man, you came up behind me and my taillights are going. Now, I wouldn't be doing this. But you pulled up and I rolled the window down and it said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know what? Nothing wrong with getting excited about songs about the Lord. Let's praise him in prayer. Let's make sure that when we're praying, you know, that old thought, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, yield. And let's make sure we're praising him in prayer. And then also, let me say there underneath that, let's praise him with our lips. Hey, let's praise him in witnessing. Let's make sure we're telling the lost what Jesus can do. Listen to what the Bible says This is a familiar passage. I think one of the preachers may have used that at some point this week. But Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. All right, so the psalmist there says, hey, I got born again. I got brought up out of a pit. God put a song in my heart. And he says this, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Right, so the psalmist got saved. He's praising God. He's saying others are going to see it, and they're going to fear, and they're going to trust in the Lord. He goes on to say, in verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. So this week, you looking? Let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him with our testimony. Let's just get out this week. Hey, find a way to tell somebody somewhere about what God did for you this week. It may be you and a fellow Christian at work. So they don't go to a church just like ours, but they're saved and they talk about the Lord. Man, wouldn't that be wonderful if the ones over here that don't go to church heard a couple of Christians talking about something besides gossip and negative and the world's falling apart and Trump and Biden. Hey, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. Let's go out this week and let's praise him in song. Get you a song. Man, you can YouTube any song you want these days and get the tune to it. And man, just whistle the songs that bring praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's praise him in prayer. I mean, talk to the Lord. When you're driving down the road, just talk, Lord, thank you. I just want to thank you for where my life is right now and what you've done, and you provide for me and you give me strength. And then let's be sure to praise him in witnessing. Let's tell somebody else, somebody that's lost, about what Jesus did for us. So let's praise him with our lips. All right, let me give you the second. I told you that would take a while, but the second and third won't take as long, but I certainly don't want you to miss them. Not only should we praise him with our lips, but I want to say, secondly, let's praise him with our life. Let's praise him with our life. Well, there's some Christians living on dangerous ground right now, because if you claim to be born again and yet you go out to your job, or you go out to the family, you go out to the school, and it's wrong music, it's wrong testimony, it's wrong character, it's wrong language, and no one knows you're saved, and no one knows you're a Bible believer, and no one knows, and friend, listen to me, you're going to get yourself in trouble with God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, listen to this, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I saw a verse the other day, and I want to read this to you, and it's great, about living for the Lord in order to praise him. The Bible says this in Psalm 33 and verse number 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, those that are right, not only saved, but right with him. And it makes this statement, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is suitable for the upright. It's hard to go to work tomorrow and talk bad about your spouse and use the wrong language and praise the world's music that's online. It's hard to do that and then turn around and say, y'all, I just want to tell y'all how good God is. Just didn't work that way. Let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him with our life. Look with me, if you would, to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and we'll be in and out of this chapter quite a bit over the next few weeks with looking at 2 Samuel 11. But Psalm 51, there's something I noticed as I was studying for another message. If you know your Bible, you know the Psalm 51 that David had sinned greatly. And I want you to notice that the sin in his life caused the praise in his lips to cease. Let me say that again. You're going to see here that the sin in David's life caused the praise in his lips to cease. Look at verse 7, Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I should be clean. Wash me, I should be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. All right, so he's trying to get right. He is getting right with God. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. All right, so he says, God, if you'll forgive me, if you'll get me back to that place where I once was, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Notice this, verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. What happened? David sinned greatly, and guess what it did? He used to talk about the Lord. He used to praise God for what God was doing in his life and amongst his children. And he had sinned, and the lips of praise just went, bam, just shut. And he said, God, if you'll forgive me, if I can get, just be totally right with you, if Lord, if you'll just open my mouth again, I'll sing praises unto you. He had to get totally and completely right with the Lord before he could praise God properly. And I want to say this, you cannot walk worldly and enjoy a heart of praise to God at the same time. You absolutely cannot. A fountain cannot send forth sweet water and bitter at the same time. So, you're either standing with a crowd that is praising him, or you're standing with a crowd that says, away with him. You cannot do both. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him with our life. And then let me give you one last one. Turn to Psalm 78. Never mind. Turn to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter number 2. And once you're there, I just want you to listen to some things I'm going to read here for just a moment. Then I'll jump over there with you, okay? So let's praise him with our lips. That's easy enough. Let's just get out there and do it. Let's praise him with our life, okay? Let's make sure that the way we're living is a way that brings honor and glory to God. Let's make sure that people can tell, you know, that's a Christian. That person treats people right, treats people with respect. They love their spouse. They love their children. They love their church. They love their Lord. So let's praise him with our life. And then the last one, and I know all of our little kids are in the back right now, so I think it's a good time really to say this, but this is the thought the Lord put on my heart. Let's praise him to our little ones. Let's praise him to our little ones. God help any parent that sends their child down a wrong path. I don't want to get into that this morning. I'm not feeling that great, so I'm going to end here. But folks, listen, God help us. It's one thing if our child rebels against God. It's another thing if they sit in church and rebel because mama's rebelling or daddy's rebelling. And the attitude that mama has is the attitude the kid has, and the attitude that dad has is the attitude the son has. God help us. Let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him with our life. Let's praise him to our little ones. A lot of us in here have kids. A lot in here, you've got grandkids. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 145, verse number 1. I will extol thee. That means I'll praise thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Listen to this. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. One generation shall declare thy works to another generation. I heard Brother Ballard the other day say this. He was talking, wasn't here, but he was talking. He said this. He said, you know, I mentioned who the guys are that have really influenced me, especially over the past 20, 25 years. And And he said this. He said what Brother Buchanan was to him. He said there's a 15-year space of difference between Brother Buchanan, of course, who's in heaven, and Brother Ballard. And he said, and I heard him telling this online, actually, he said, and Brother Jeremy, he said there's a 15-year difference between Brother Ballard and myself. And I thought, man, that's someone he looked up to. And Brother Ballard, someone I look up to, and someone 15 years younger than me, I guess, would be 33. But folks, listen, that's it. That's just one generation staying faithful and telling the next generation how to stay faithful and staying at it through thick and thin, through ups and downs, but staying true to the Lord and true to His Word. And friend, that's what we've got to do as Christians. The Bible says in Psalm 78 and verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. Listen, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We're talking about our children, our parents, our grandparents, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We have a responsibility. But you're back in Judges chapter number 2. And the Bible says this. In verse number 10, also all that generation were gathered unto their father, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil on the sight of the Lord, served Balaam. Goes on to say they forsook God, served the gods of the people that were round about them. That's sad. It's sad. We're almost done. Look up here for just a minute. It's sad. Got it? Sad. When parents are the ones that encourage their kid to run from the will of God. It's sad when parents are the one bashing the church and giving the kids a poor spirit towards the church, towards the pastor. And I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, but if that's you, just go find another church. I'd rather just get your heart totally right with God. We got a good thing going here, whether you think so or not. Just because you're not right with God and walking with God doesn't mean this church is wrong and this pastor's wrong. It's sad. I've seen many young people over the years, over 22 years of pastoring here, I've seen many young people over the years that were on track for God until a parent stood right in the way. God help us. Let's praise God with our lips. Let's praise God with our life. And those little ones that are back there, they're going to come running out in a minute and tell you they won best kid prize and they won a piece of candy, or one of them got saved, or one of them prayed about reading their Bible more, or one of them prayed about the family pet that's sick, or whatever. They're at such a wonderful age to raise up to the glory of God. Why? I want what's best for my kids. Why in the world would we not remind them God's been good in our life? Is life tough? Yes. Are there valleys? Yes. Are there disappointing people? Yes. Are there heartaches? Yes, that's part of it. Is it hard sometimes in church and in ministry? Absolutely. But God has been good to this family. God's been good to my parents and their family, and I'm so glad they got saved in the 70s. And there were times where no doubt they had disagreements with their pastor, disagreements with their church. No doubt, I know over the past 40 years, they've had ups and downs and valleys and heartaches and backstabbings and all this stuff. And some of the most faithful people turn around and go back to the world. And as pastor and pastor's wife and family, you just keep marching on in the will of God and try to do right. But I guarantee if you ask that couple back there, What do you think about the Lord? They'd say, God has been good to us. Our kids need to hear that. Our kids need to know when God does things in our life. But we've got to be walking with him. We've got to have the blessings of God on our life, right? To be able to have a testimony. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of the crowd in the scriptures that said, crucify him. You say, I'd never do that. I'm a born-again Christian. But where was that crowd? If they did nothing more, they did this. I'm going to stand with that crowd that said, Hosanna. That's an exclamation of praise. Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let's go out this week. Let's praise him with our lips. Let's praise him with our life. And let's make sure on the way home, we ask those little kids, hey, what did God do in your heart today? Let me tell you what God did in my heart. Let's make sure we make a big deal. Around our house, we still celebrate that spiritual birthday. Lest we forget, we may do it the day after, but it's a deal to us. Make the spiritual accomplishments in your kid's life, make it a big deal. Talk about the Lord. And then let's praise Him with our lips, our lives. Let's praise Him with our little ones. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I wonder this morning if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. If you died right now, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. Can I encourage you in just a moment? We're going to sing a couple of verses of invitation, and we're going to stand, and I want you to be saved today. What a wonderful day in your life. Easter week, resurrection week, to get your salvation settled and secured forever. There was an old preacher one time back in the day that made the statement, he believed 50% of his congregation was lost. I don't believe that's the case, but sometimes I wonder if that's the struggle with some people, is they've been around religion for so long, they think they've got something, but there's never been that moment where that was the moment they realized they were lost and on their way to hell. That was the moment they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Friend, if you don't have that confidence, I pray that today would be the day you get that settled. And I think all of us in here, I know I'm speaking for all of us, but I think it's right. All of us in here probably do a better job of praising God with our lips. Whether it's in prayer to Him, whether it's just telling people at work or at school or in the family about how good God has been, whether it's singing the right kind of songs, whatever it may be, all of us in here could probably do a better job with that. I hope there's some in here that you're praising God with your life. You go out and what we see today is what we'll see on Monday and what we'll see on Tuesday and what we'll see on Wednesday. And then we could never praise Him enough to our little ones. I mean, they need to be filled not with poison towards another family in the church, not with poison towards the pulpit, not with mom and dad. God help if you've got one of those homes where there's constant screaming and fighting. I could not imagine that type of home where kids constantly have to worry about whether mom or dad are going to be there the next morning. That's a sad, sad place to live. It's a sad place to live in a home where kids come to church and hear a pastor that loves them, preach to them and teach and sing and go home and they got to hear dad or mom just bash the preacher or bash the deacon or bash the church or bash where the church stands here or bash why they did that. Hey, God help us. They've got a whole world against them today. They're going to come face to face one day probably with some dude in a wig and makeup. That's the world they live in. We ought to be on the same page. What page? Those pages right there.